All right. So the last time I was with you guys, it was basically a bunch of stories of what not to do. I'm here to finish. No, I'm not. I'm here to move on in that list. I'm not going to be able to finish today. And so as we start, we'll start with a word of prayer. But here's what I want you guys to think about. Those of you that are here, not dying of the flu at home, or dysentery, whatever the case may be. As we go through some of these things, it's not only my objective to entertain you, to make you laugh and be like, wow, Mr. Howe, you were really stupid as a teenager. That is one of my objectives. Okay. But the greater objective is for you to grab hold of a truth that I'm presenting to you and preserving yourself from sin and seeking holiness as a young person to learn from those who have gone before you. That's the objective. So as we open in a word of prayer, ask the Holy Spirit that He would speak to you about whatever it is that you need to work on, especially with some of the things we're going to discuss, so that you would be closer to Him now, and you're not going to stand before students or your family or whatever someday in 10 years and be like, yeah, I was really stupid, even though someone told me, don't be stupid. Because then you're really stupid, okay? I can say the word stupid. It's in my job description. Did you know that, Michael? It's not. I don't know that I have a job description, but if I do, I'm going to make sure stupid gets in there. All right. So let's open in word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I ask that you would use the time we have this morning to encourage these young people if they are doing what is right, or to correct them and exhort them to do what is right if they are not. I ask that you would bless our time this morning. And Father, I know that there are many that are out sick, both staff and students. I ask that you would give them a speedy recovery and also preserve those that are here from getting whatever is going around, that they would be able to stay in school and not miss work. And all these things will give you the glory for it. In your name, amen. All right, so just to kind of give you guys a review, because it's been like a month, is I told you guys, stop trying to impress the upperclassmen or any student, okay? Gave you a funny story about that. Just because you aren't participating doesn't mean that you can let it happen. So just because someone else is doing wrong and you're not doesn't mean that you're okay. You need to speak up. Don't wait for your friends to start serving God, and stop chasing girls. All right? That's the first four. Number five. Number five is quit hiding social media from your parents. All right? Now, my stories aren't going to be quite like what you guys are dealing with, because now, I mean, I have a whole folder on my phone for social media. I can go to Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, okay, Facebook Messenger. I can go to every different type of social media available. All right. When I was your age, we didn't have quite so many options. It definitely wasn't in our pocket. It could be in a suitcase that you could carry with you, but then you'd need an outlet to plug it in. Because even laptops weren't that popular then. And if they, you did have a laptop, it was still the size of a suitcase. I mean, they were huge. But we had a desktop computer growing up. And my dad was an IT guy. He still is an IT guy. And so I always had one of the coolest setups when it came to a computer in the house. How many of you, if I said the word network, you know what I'm talking about? If I said my house was on a network, okay, put your hands down. How many of you have a computer or a tablet or some sort of device that accesses the internet at home? Raise your hand. Okay, great. How many of you, by raised hand, have your computers at home on a network? All right. By network, I don't mean you're connected to the internet. Okay. I grew up in a home that had the house on a network. Okay, so here, let me explain a network to you real quick. We have one here at the church. What it is there's one central location where the internet comes into the house, and then we have a server room, okay? And all these computers that you find on campus are all connected either by wire or by wireless signal to this central location so that our IT department can go in and they can access any computer they want and do whatever they want. You guys know what remoting into a desktop is? Okay? All right. We can do that here. My dad could do that at home. on our home computers. Now, you guys probably like, whatever, that doesn't really matter. Okay. But when you're 14, 15, 16 years old trying to be sneaky on your computer, you know, you have to be creative in order to get away with things. It didn't work so well. See, you guys now, you have, and I know the school had a policy and, you know, whatever about social media friends and things like that. I grew up in the world, the generation that was introduced to social media. All right. Trying to think, I don't want to put you on the spot, but Miss Stiles, I know you are in your 30s. Did you grow up with any type of social media?
No.
Did you grow up with email?
Yes.
Okay, it would have come in about...
I was in high school when I got email.
Okay, so she was in high school when she got an email address. Yeah, no internet at home. All right. Mrs. Hawk, did you grow up with social media? Nope. Okay. I was about 14, 15 when AOL. All right. How many of you know what AOL is? Okay. America Online. You guys can put your hands down. I was a teenager when AOL came in. And, okay, I'll date myself. How many of you have seen the movie You've Got Mail? That makes no sense in today's world. Okay, go... I won't say go watch that, but if you ever watch that, you'll be like, this makes no sense. It doesn't now. In the mid-90s, it made perfect sense. Anyway, so America Online came up with this thing called a screen name. And I kind of talked about this before, whatever, but with screen names, you just created, you know, a username. Okay, you guys know what a screen name is. It's your Snapchat name, your handle, whatever you go by on social media. Okay, and you have that, and you would download AOL Instant Messenger to your desktop. It was an application that you would run. The closest thing to compare it to now is like Google Chat. All right, how many of you have a Gmail address? I know this whole half of the room does. Great. So when you open up your Gmail, you know how sometimes they'll tell you you have friends that are online right now that you correspond with? Okay, that's based out of your email contacts. Well, Jonathan, it wasn't like that. You could go and you could add people by their screen name. You could even go to this place, all right, maybe you've heard of it. It's called a chat room. How many of you have heard what a chat room is? This is really devastating, guys. I'm not old, and you're making me feel old, okay? You could go to this place. Thanks, you put your hands down. None of my questions require a very lengthy handhold. I'm just trying to get a quick survey. You could go to this place called a chat room, and every adult that I interacted with said, don't go to chat rooms, don't go to chat rooms. Because literally all you see is a name and you don't know what's on the other side of that name. Trying to protect us, they would say things like, don't go in chat rooms, you don't know who's there. There would be all types of people. There were sexual predators, there were child predators, there were people pretending to be people they weren't because all you got was a name. Okay? And here's my generation, what we grew up with. Is if you met someone in a chat room, one of the first questions you would ask them would be this quick little abbreviation of ASL question mark. All right. That means nothing to you, right? Does anyone know what ASL is? Do you know, Miss? Okay. Mrs. Bullock, what does ASL mean? Age, sex, location. All right. And if you met someone, you would ask them, how old are you? Are you a guy or a girl? And where are you? Who tells the truth on that? If you're in a... Okay, let's be honest, all right? You're 15 years old. Let's not even go there. You're 13 years old. You're in a chat room in which your parents don't want you to be there. You're interacting with people in which you do not know. Who's going to be honest and say, yeah, I'm 13 and I'm a guy and I'm located here? Well, I mean, that narrows it down and we can find you easily, can't we, Jack? I mean, how many 14-year-olds... Okay. It was a safety issue. And that was something that came up. And I would, against my parents' wishes, would go into chat rooms. And I would meet, you know, talk to people, whatever. And as we would go through that, and I had, all of my friends did the exact same thing. Sometimes, you know, if you really wanted to have fun, Katie, you'd get a couple friends like, Jack, let's go get on AOL. And we're going to go into this chat room at the same time. And then, you know, you can start fights. You can interact with each other. You know, you pick on people. Okay, loads of fun to be had on the internet. As long as no one tried to call the house phone because then you were getting kicked off. All right, the struggle was real, I'm telling you. So we would do those things, and then, but the problem was, is I was never supposed to be doing that. Well, I was really smart, okay? I learned very early that there are these things called shortcut keys on a keyboard. All right, if you hold down the ALT and hit tab, does anyone know what happens? What happens? It doesn't, depending on the program, it'll show you all the windows. Older computers, it did something a little different. Joshua? It changes the tab. All right. Now, if you're doing something that you're not supposed to be on a computer, and someone walks up and you immediately start moving your mouse, click, 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 you know what it looks like? You're somewhere you shouldn't be. But if someone's walking up and you, does it look like, I mean, it just looks like you're typing, right? Unless they know what keys you really hit. And I got really good at that. And if I needed to be sneaky, you could do it twice, have multiple programs up in the background, and you could tab twice and go two programs away. Now, modern day computers, they do have the feature where you hit it once and it'll, you know, if you hold it, it'll show you all your programs. But if you do it quickly, you could tab through real quickly, Roy. I got good at that. And I thought I was hot snot on a silver platter. Okay. My dad, he'd walk by and he'd look at my screen and just searching through the internet, you know, looking at remote control car videos or something like that. Okay. Things I was allowed to be doing. Well, the problem with the whole network thing, I learned this, okay. Most of my computer experience I learned through being disciplined by my father, is dad could go to his computer in the basement, log on, and he could look at everything that was on my screen. I didn't know that. I learned that. And it got to the point where it was like, why are you on, you know, why are you going here? And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, then I got to the point where I knew that if dad went downstairs to his office, that I had to get out of there. Well, then it got to the point where this thing called a history came up. See, you guys now, you know all about in-private browsing, okay? Incognito did not exist. In-private browsing did not exist. If you wanted to cover your tracks because you were being sinful, you had to go in and manually delete your history. And if you were smart enough, then you went in and you deleted your cookies too. All right, if you don't know what cookies are, then you, that's okay. All right, but how many of you know what the cookie history are? Okay, yep. All of you computer nerds are right there with me. All right, if you didn't go in and delete those as well, you could go right back to the same location. And so those were things that I learned because my dad would come like, why were you here? What were you doing here? I'm like, how did you know, Dad? Like, who told him? Yeah, it was my dad trying to protect me. Well, then it got to the point where I'd want to stay up. My parents would go to bed, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And they're like, all right, you need to be off the computer at 10:30. Okay, Dad. Yeah, what teenager wants to go to bed at 10:30, right? So my dad, being the smart guy that he is, set up, I don't even know, I remember, but it's been so long. But he would go in and through the network, he would schedule my computer to be shut off at 10:30, Abigail. And I'd be sitting there just chatting it up with my friends from school because we didn't have cell phones. So if you want to talk to your friends, okay, you had to go through the AOL chat or something similar, Yahoo Messenger or whatever. And so we had to do it that way. Well, then all of a sudden your computer goes, 10:30. Stephen, that was frustrating. But I knew it was because of that network. So I unplugged the network cable. And I turned my computer back on. And guess what happens? If you turn your computer back on 3 minutes after it was told to turn off, but you're not connected to the network, it'll turn on. And then you plug the network cable back in and the computer thinks it's, well, okay, well, it'll turn off the next day at 10:30. So my dad would do that and I was pretty proud of myself. I'm not going to lie. All right. I had a good laugh when dad was downstairs, sent a command to my computer to shut down and it shut down. But by the time he got back upstairs, I was back on. And he would, you know, we had a good little conversation. Oh, I did this, Dad. He's like, oh, okay. And so we kind of had a laugh. He's like, get off and go to bed. And I'm like, okay. But you know some interesting little factoid about that? It still works. If those of you that come to youth group, you know we have a kiosk computer out in the youth room. And it has a security issue with our network here, and I couldn't log on the other day. Guess what I did? I unplugged the network cable, logged in with my password, and it booted right up, and I plugged the network cable back in. It still works 15 years later. Okay? But here's what I want you guys to grab from this. My stupidity with Instant Messenger is a completely different ballpark than what you deal with now with social media. If you were to go in to chat message, chat rooms and things like that, you could scroll and you could get to your history. And it was much more traceable than it is now. Okay, by raise of hands, how many of you are on Snapchat? I mean, have a Snapchat account, okay? All right. I haven't seen a whole lot of value in it. I use it, but here's what I want you to think about for just a moment. Think if you were the developer of Snapchat, Derek. Here's what you actually sat down to think about as you were writing code for this app. I want to send something to you, and I want it gone right after you look at it so that no one ever sees it again. Now think about that. I want no accountability for anything I say, do, or see. That is Snapchat. Now, I got it. Okay, Jimmy and I, where is Jimmy? Is he out sick? Jimmy? No? Okay. Jimmy and I have gone back and forth being stupid. Okay, if I'm on Snapchat with you, feel free. Send me stupid pictures. I don't care. Let's have fun with it, and we can use it for sanctifying purposes. Okay. But at the same time, it is there. And if you want to do wrong with that, then there's no one to stop you. Leroy, I can't get on and look at your Snapchat history. I could see who you've spoken to, but I can't go and see who it is that you've been sending messages to and what you sent to them. Interestingly enough, Jade, all right, we know all about this, don't we? Where's Kelton? Is he out sick today? Oh, see, eighth grade, a week or two ago, they were working on projects, and some of them asked if they could use their phone to work on their project. Well, I know you can work on Google Slides and Google Docs and stuff like that on your phone, so I let them. Well, we're sitting in class, and Kelton has Jade's phone. Well, I'm not okay with that. Jade is clearly not working if someone else has her phone. Well, okay, Kelton, give her back her phone. I'm sitting at home that night, scrolling through Snapchat. Jade Lewis posts. Oh, I'm 7 o'clock. 7 hours ago. Wait a second. They were in history class with me 7 hours ago. I wonder what picture she posted. And what do I see? Kelton's ugly face. So I'm like, is that so? So Andrew, I get off Snapchat, I switch over to messaging, and I pull up Kelton, and I say, hey, Kelton, bring something else to work on tomorrow that doesn't involve electronics. Because he abused the privilege. Now, Jade got to bring her phone back because she was smart and didn't post anything on Snapchat, okay? But it was not wise because she allowed her friend to do that. Now, it's silly. In the grand scale of things, does it really matter? No. But here's what I want you guys to think about. The way you use social media, if it is being hidden or you don't want adults to see it, is indicative of the fact that you are sinning. All right, I got it. I can be silly and I can tell you about all the stupid things I did, but here's the truth of it. What I'm labeling as stupid was sin. See, I can tell you, Sierra, I did stupid things, okay, but the stupidity was sin. To deceive my parents, to try to circumvent the protections that my dad established was sin. If you're going to use social media and you're going to use it for a method or a way that you don't want adults to see, then it's sin. Whether you're posting it or not. Okay, here's what you need to think about. To have the mentality that I don't want adults to see my business. Whether you do anything wrong or not. The mentality of I don't want them to see it is sin. Why? Because you don't want to be accountable for your actions. So, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, Jonathan, that if you send something that you don't want an adult seeing, that is obviously sin. But if you just have the thought process of, well, I don't want any adults to see anything I do, sinful or not, that is sin. Because the whole idea of what God has created is that there is accountability for your actions. Point in case, Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did something that was wrong. Was there anything necessarily intrinsically wrong with eating fruit? No. They were allowed to eat fruit. It was the particular fruit that they ate that they should not have. And immediately they tried to hide the things that they were doing from God. God created them and made them in the garden without clothing, together as a husband and wife. Were they doing anything wrong? No. But trying to hide from the authority was sin. So I spent all that on the idea of stop trying to hold or hide social media from your parents. Number 6, stop trying to be two different people. It is going to exhaust you. I had a friend growing up, probably one of my best childhood friends. His name was Cody. Cody lived in the neighborhood about 2 streets away. I don't even remember how we met. But Cody and I were good friends. At least I thought. 10, 11, 12 years old. Okay, not such a big deal. Once you got to 13, 14 years old, then the neighborhood friendship started to get a little more difficult to handle. Because as an 8-year-old, you know, you can still pretend and play and be silly and stupid and whatever. But then as you start to hit, really, it's with puberty that it comes, that your thought process starts to change. Playing pretend just isn't cool anymore. You know, just riding your bikes just isn't as much fun as it used to be. Okay, you guys with me? All right, how many of you remember a time when it was fun to just play outside doing whatever? Like, you didn't really know what you were doing. You didn't really have a plan. But it was just like, I was outside and it was the best. All right, you guys remember that? All right, hands down. Now, be honest with me. How many of you still find as much joy in being outside without any plan as you did then? All right. There are a few of us that still do. But the number has drastically dropped. Why? Because something developmentally changes in our cognitive awareness, in our developmental processes, that it's fun to imagine and play around and do whatever as a child, but as you hit adolescence, it's no longer as much fun. Which is fine. Some people still enjoy it, but you saw by hands, we were all there and then it changed. Same was true for me. It was great when we were young and we could just be stupid. All right, silly, childish stuff. But then as it got a little older and Cody became full-on teenager who went to public school, okay, had, I don't know where his real dad was, but his mom's boyfriend, who was several years older than her, lived in the house. Okay, it was one of the worst home situations you could imagine. That boyfriend was always drunk, okay. They opened the door and you could smell the alcohol. All right, so Cody loved coming to my house. Because in my house, mom and dad were both present. There was never any yelling or arguing. It was safe. It was calm. It was peaceful. I didn't realize it then. I realized it being older, looking back. He wanted what I had, which is why he was always at my house. Even if we were doing nothing, he would love to come over just for dinner because the whole family was there. It was prepared for him. It was taken care of for him. But the problem was I had all that, but I almost wanted what he had. The freedom to do whatever I wanted. And so Cody and I, we would hang out, and as he got older, and maybe you've noticed this about people, the older they get, the more vulgar their language goes with them. To the point of, yeah, okay, maybe you know people that are worldly, and they might use a cuss word or two, or when they get really angry, they might let something slip. But then as they get older and they just don't care, then it's like every other word they use is just filthy. You guys know people like that? Okay, how many of you know people that, okay, when they get mad, they might let a cuss word slip? All right, how many of you know someone like that? Or you are someone, really? You're not being honest. Yeah, you know someone like that. All right, you go to school with them. I know who you are. All right, hands down. Now, how many of you know someone that they just don't care anymore and they've thought of six or seven different ways to use the F word? All right, and you know people like that. They just have no control over it. All right, great. Put your hands down. Here's the problem. The more you are around it, subliminally, it will affect you. And that was the case with Cody. See, he was my best friend growing up from about 8 till really about 15. So we had a good 6-7 years where we were together most days. And it got to the point where Cody was, he was changing his language. And it got really difficult. Maybe you don't understand this dynamic, but Amos, here's what would happen. During the summer, because we could play all day in the summer, I would spend like 9 a.m. Not realistic. I wasn't up at 9. Probably like 10 a.m., 11 a.m. till about 5 or 6 o'clock at night playing with Cody on a Wednesday. Well, Cody was not saved, did not know Jesus, could care less about rules or authority. And then, Amos, I had parents that would take me to church on Wednesday. Do you have any idea what it does to a teenager to talk one way for 6, 7, 8 hours and then have to go talk a completely different way for 2 hours while you're at church? That wears you out. And to be real honest with you, teenagers, the more you try to do that, the more it's going to drain you. Now, you're not going to be physically tired from it, but emotionally and spiritually, especially if you are one of Christ, it will just suck the life out of you. And here's the reason why. Matthew chapter 6. You guys know this. It says, verse 24. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See, I was trying as a teenager to serve what I labeled God and money as church and Cody. I had my best friend and I acted one particular way when I was with him. And then I had to go and I had to clean it up to go to church. Now, that's all well and good when you can do it the first few times. But after it got to the point of I would get upset with friends or other people at church and I would want to go and say something that I would say with Cody, but then I would catch myself like, oh, I can't say that, I'm in church. And it got to the point where I had one of these self conversations, you guys have had them, you know, where you talk to yourself and it's just like, you know what, this is stupid. Why am I trying so hard to do both of these? I was not motivated by some spiritual presence in my life that was just like, oh, you know what, I want to serve God. It was just, I'm tired. I am worn out from trying to be one way with Cody and one way with church and one way around my parents because, you know, it was basically like church in my house. All right. How many of you have one of those homes that, you know what, your mouth had better be just as clean at home as it better be in church? Okay. Those of you that, yeah, there's several of us. All right. And I got to the point where I had to sit and say, you know what, Brian? One of these is going to go away, the other is not. Guess which one wasn't going to go away? Mom and Dad. I would love to be able to tell you guys that the Holy Spirit just, you know, convicted me of my sin and it was like, okay, you know what, God, I'm going to serve you. That wasn't it. That wasn't the case. I just got tired of it. And Amos, I had to be like, you know what? Mom and Dad aren't going anywhere. I can't move out and live on my own. I'm going to have to do things their way. And so really about that time with that decision, Cody and I started to split apart. And we stopped hanging out as much. Well, now, fortunately, I had other things that I could occupy myself with. But we gradually grew apart to the point where now I couldn't tell you what he's doing or where he is. I have no contact with him. But as I look back on my life, I'm like, wow, I spent so much time trying to do both of these. The moment I gave up trying to be two different people is the moment I got relief. Now, I'm not going to tell you that the moment you give up trying to live a duplicit life, you're going to suddenly be the most spiritual person ever. But you're going to have a peace inside that's just like, you know what? I finally can acknowledge and rest in the fact of who I am. See, if we're honest with ourselves, each and every one of you deal with that. If you haven't dealt with it already, you will deal with it. All right? Let's be honest. I'll ask this side of the room. So this half, just ignore me. All right? Teenagers, high school. How many of you have had that conversation with yourself of, is this whole God thing even worth it? How many of you have had that question come through your head? All right, I was there. And it was pointless. It was like, why am I trying to go through this? And it got to the point where it was like, is it okay? So if this whole God thing is real, then why does this happen? Or why do I have to deal with this? And let me tell you the one thing that convinced me. My mom. I had a mom who is one of the most godly people I've ever known. While I was being a pain in the rear as a teenager, I had a mom that would lay on her bed every morning, read her Bible, and she would pray for me. I had a mom that when I would yell and cuss at her, she would love me. To the point where I said, if you're not real, then why is my mom like this? Because I didn't deserve it. And you've got to get to the point where you look around your life and God is either real and he is affecting people, or it's the biggest lie you've ever been told. And students, the longer you try to play the game, the worse it will be for you. I now have a great relationship with my mom. When it came time to get married, while I was questioning things and being, you know, am I really sure about this? My mom was the one that said, I'm certain she's the one God has for you. And that settled it for me. When it came time to relocate and move 8 hours away from my family to take a job at a church and a school, when my mom said she had peace about it, that's when I knew I was okay. But the problem is, I can't stand before God at the judgment seat on my mom's salvation. I had to make it on mine. And while I was questioning things and I was fighting with God and my parents and my Christian school and my church, while I was doing that, I had someone praying for me. So here's what you need to stop and think about. While you're trying to live your duplicit life, acting one way with your friends, one way on social media, and another way in school or in church, you have people praying for you. You have individuals that love you and are trying to pour their life into you so that you will come out of this school trusting in Christ and on your way to heaven for eternity. And what you have to evaluate, I got it. We can look at the cross and we can look at what Christ did and we can read scripture. And I am all for that. But if we're honest, you can't see it. I can't see Christ dying on the cross for me. I can read it. I can visualize it. But I can see my mom laying on her bed praying for me. You can see your teachers opening up their Bible and trying to teach you from God's Word. You can see godly individuals teaching you math every single day. And they're not doing it because we're paying them tons of money. They do it because they love you and they care about your soul. So you need to decide which one is real. Which one's going to be around longer. Because the one that you pick is the one that you're going to be stuck with. For me, I knew which one I had to pick. I chose God. And I've never regretted it. But don't wait until it's too late to pick. God has offered you His salvation. He's offered you everything. If you'll just trust Him. So do it. Give up on the world. It's going to let you down. It'll move away. It'll fade. It'll vanish. But God will last forever. And the peace that He gives is more than you will ever need. But you're the one that makes the decision. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we close, I know that inside this room that there are students that are battling, trying to decide if you are real, if you really love them, if you are what you say you are. Because Satan would want nothing more than to pluck the sheep of this fold out and to devour them. And Father, I ask that right now, as these students are still and quiet, that they would make a decision to serve You. That they would make a decision to trust You. That they would make every possible resolution to follow You and what You have for them. And Father, I ask it as we dismiss ourselves and head to the next classes, that if there's a student that is battling with this, that they would not be able to sit still in a classroom, that they would have to go and speak with a teacher or find someone who can help them settle this. That the importance of their soul is more than any academic pursuit. And Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the lessons that You've taught me. And how You've made Yourself so real that I can't but acknowledge Your truth and Your scripture and Your change that You make in people's lives. And all these things, we give You the honor. It's in Your name. Amen.